Hey, Bar Brawlers, this is Daniel Rowe. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank everybody who has donated to Bar Brawl, Volume 1 of the journal at the Indiegogo page. Thank you so much. It means a lot. There are still a bunch of days left, so for those of you who do want to give, who would love to be a part of this new project we are about to do, just go to Indiegogo, type in the Bar Brawl, and you will see the page. But thanks again for donating those who did, and here's the show.
From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
He's good, he ate turkey, but pork. All good things.
Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl.
Hey.
Hello.
My name is Daniel J. Rowe, and I am surrounded by new and old faces alike. For you, Bard Brawlers, you are in for a special, special treat. We'll start with old familiar faces of Brawl's past. Eric Jean Tand, and with a full belly of giraffe.
That's right. Back from safari.
How many creatures and what breed did you kill?
Too many to mention. Federales will come after me if I can't. I gotta.
Did you eat them on the field or bring them home?
Well, as some brawlers may know, my wife is a butcher.
Yes.
And so she just right there in the field, dressed all that stuff, get it ready. Boom.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
And then you traded it all in Brussels in the true colonial fashion.
Yes, that's right.
Welcome back. And Stephanie E.M. Coleman, in her painting gear, working heartily on a painting for poet
Ryan Beinack, also known as Coyote Blood.
Oh. Coyote Blood. I did one of his painting shows. He's also a painter.
Oh,
I think.
About right.
Maybe. No, sorry, that was Coyote Jesus.
Okay.
Or well, maybe that was the painting.
Hey.
Anyway, Coyote Blood.
I researched that a bit more.
I probably should have looked that up before I started recording.
Oh, who's that hacking in the corner? It's my mom, Kathleen Sophia Rowe.
Hello.
And my dad, Brian the Drake Rowe.
Hello.
I didn't forget Mo Beck's mom. I didn't forget Mo Beck's Rebecca Salomon back
yes.
from the cold
yes.
hinterland that is.
Oh my god. I'm alive, so I'm thankful for that. But it was hard.
But you were in the Edmonton Oilers country.
Yes, mm. I was.
They have a mall there, I've heard.
Where? The West Edmonton Mall, biggest mall ever, but I mean, it's
that's
not that big. And that's where everybody goes. They go to the beach there. And that's what they do.
To the beach there.
Yeah.
Wow, I think
they go to the beach. Sorry, they go to the beach in the mall?
Yes, that's
there's a beach in the mall?
Yes. An indoor beach.
I thought there was a water slide.
There's sand.
And a beach.
Yes.
And
a beach. Mm-hmm.
We've seen
it. And a submarine.
Oh, that's weird.
Well, you know, you do what
who
you
would go
do.
To a beach
yeah.
in a mall?
When you live in a
yeah.
That's as close as you get.
Exactly.
Don't they have rivers?
No.
Lakes or
no.
anything?
Yes,
no.
But it's winter 10 months of the year, so.
Exactly.
Weird, weird place. No offense to our Edmonton Bard Brawlers. this is the Bard Brawl. We go pound for pound with Shakespeare. Much like two Edmontonians on a beach in a mall.
Oh.
Mm. Did you see any fights on the beach?
No, but I could creep on people. That was interesting, because you can watch them from a window above.
Oh.
So.
Mm. Sounds fun.
Wow.
Yep.
I hope no kids go to that beach. That's just creepy.
I think they just lost all Shakespearean fans at the West Edmonton Mall beach. Eric Jean, we are delving into a new play, the Bard Brawl's 8th play. If you want
that's
to
right.
listen to any of the first 7 plays went through, which include both popular and obscure, go to bardbrawl.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at @thebardbrawl and get updates of what we are up to. So, Eric, we are doing Timon of Athens. What
that's
type
good.
Of play is Timon of Athens?
That is a very good question, Daniel. Some people have it classified as a tragedy, which I guess is the most popular set up for it. Although, because it sort of doesn't quite work like some of Shakespeare's other tragedies, some people don't like that category, but things don't end up super nice for some people, so tragedy works.
It's similar. Our last play, Pericles,
mm-hmm.
was very odd
yeah.
as compared to other Shakespeare in the canon. This one also is a little odd as well. It's not, it's sort of a history, a comedy. What is the base, the source text of this?
I'm pretty sure that the source text for this is Plutarch.
That's correct. And I loaded that question because I knew the answer.
Oh.
The source text is Plutarch, the Lives of Plutarch, of course, and the pairing is with, it's the first play we did.
Coriolanus?
Coriolanus. It's Coriolanus, and the pairing is with the general in this play.
Oh, yes, okay. I remember now the scene.
Right.
That the tie-in, yeah.
And it doesn't come up until the end, which is kind of interesting mm-hmm. that Timon becomes the central character, even though the source text is based on, it's Antiochus, isn't it? Or no,
yeah.
Alcibiades.
Alcibiades is the...
Alcibiades.
And we'll see it in this play. That part of the reason is Alcibiades' service to the state not being weighed into some punishment that awaits him. Anyways,
yeah,
we'll get to that.
Alcibiades is a young Athenian captain, a great soldier who has won many victories for Athens. He best loves war, but he is a true friend of Timon, and a generous man. Okay, and then I won't tell any rest because it'll ruin it. So, with that being said, beach, disgust.
Yes.
Giraffe, meat, disgust. Shakespeare, introduction, disgust. Act 1, Scene 1, enter a poet. I'll play the poet. A painter. Stephanie, would you like to play the painter?
Okay.
And Becca, would you like to be the jeweler?
Okay.
And Mom, would you like to be the merchant?
Okay.
And then later on we have other characters which we will divvy up as they come along. Eric, I guess, Eric, you can be Timon. I think it's time for you to take a lead.
Timon
will be yours.
I won't correct you if you mispronounce
Let's
my name.
Let's have a tally, Bard Brawlers, and see how many times we mispronounce Timon.
Mm-hmm.
Or just how many times we say Timon and Timon. Timon was the pig on.
Yes, Lion King. Timon and Pumbaa.
Timon is the
no,
meerkat.
No, yes.
I saw some of those in Africa.
The meerkat. Were they tasty?
I didn't get a chance to eat one.
The tiger on Life of Pi, he ate a bunch of meerkats.
He's probably tasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Do you want to do the stage directions?
Sure. Scene 1, Athens, a hall in Timon's house.
Good days. Oh, sorry.
You've said it already, but enter poet, painter, jeweler, merchant, and others at several doors.
Good day, sir.
I'm glad you're well.
I have not seen you long. How goes the world?
It wears, sir, as it grows.
Aye, that's well known, but what particular rarity, what strange, which manifold record could not match us? See, magic of bounty, all these spirits thy power hath conjured to attend. I know the merchant.
I know them both. The other's a jeweler.
Oh, 'tis a worthy lord.
Nay, that's most fixed.
A most incomparable man, breathed, as it were, to an untireable and continuate goodness. He passes.
I have a jewel here.
Yeah.
Oh, pray, let's see it for the Lord Timon, sir.
If he will touch the estimate, but for that...
When we for recompense have praised the veiled, it stains the glory in that happy verse which aptly sings the good.
'Tis a good form.
Looking at the jewel.
And rich, here is a water, look ye.
You are wrapped, sir, in some work, some dedication to the great lord.
A thing slipped idly from me, our poesy is as a gum which oozes from whence 'tis nourished. The fire in the flint shows not till it be strook. Our gentle flame provokes itself, and like the current flies, each bound it chases. What have you there?
A picture, sir. When comes your book forth?
Upon the heels of my presentment, sir. Let's see your piece.
'Tis a good piece.
So, Tis, this comes off well and excellent.
Indifferent.
Admirable how this grace speaks his own standing. What a mental power this eye shoots forth. How big imagination moves in this lip to the dumbness of the gesture one might interpret.
It is a pretty mocking of the life. Here is a touch. Is it good?
I will say of it, it tutors nature. Artificial strife lives in these touches, livelier than life.
Enter certain senators and pass over.
How this lord is followed.
The senators of Athens, happy men.
Look, more.
You see this confluence, this great flood of visitors? I have in this rough work shaped out a man whom this beneath world doth embrace and hug with amplest entertainment. My free drift halts not particularly, but moves itself in a wide sea of wax. No leveled malice infects one comma in the course I hold, but flies an eagle flight bold and forth on, leaving no track behind.
How shall I understand you?
I will unbolt to you. You see how all conditions, how all minds, as well as glib and slippery creatures as of grave and austere quality, tender down their services to Lord Timon. Timon. His large fortune upon this, his good and gracious nature hanging subdues and properties to his love and tenderance all sorts of hearts, yea, from the glass-faced flattener to Apamantus, that few things love better than to abhor himself. Even he drops down the knee before him and returns in peace, most rich in Timon's nod.
I saw them speak together.
Sir, I have upon a high and pleasant hill feigned fortune to be thrown. The base o' the mount is ranked with all deserts, all kind of natures that labor on the bosom of this sphere to propagate their states amongst them all whose eyes are on this sovereign lady fixed. One do I personate of Lord Timon's frame, whom fortune with her ivory hand wafts to her. Whose present grace to present slaves and servants translates his rivals.
'Tis conceived to scope this throne, this fortune, and this hill, methinks, with one man beckoned from the rest below, bowing his head against the sleepy mount to climb his happiness, would be well expressed in our condition.
Nay, sir, but hear me on, all those which were his fellows but of late, some better than his value. On the moment follow his strides, his lobbies fill with tendrance. Tendance? Tendance. Rain sacrificial whisperings in his ear, make sacred even his stirrup, and through him drink of the free air.
Aye, Mary, what of these?
When fortune, in her shift and change of mood, spurns down her late beloved, all his departments, which labored after him to the mountaintop, even on their knees and hands let him slip down, not one accompanying his declining foot.
'Tis common. 1,000 moral paintings I can show that shall demonstrate these quick blows of fortunes more pregnantly than words. Yet you do well to show Lord Timon that mean eyes have seen the foot above the head.
Trumpet sound. Enter Timon, addressing himself courteously to every suitor, messenger from Ventidius, talking with him, and Lucilius, and other servants following.
Okay, Dad, you can be Lucilius.
Imprisoned is he, say you?
Aye, my good lord, 5 talents in his debt, his means most short, his creditors most straight. Your honorable letter he desires to those have shut him up, which failing periods his comfort.
A noble Ventidius. Well, I am not of that feather to shake off my friend when he must needs me. I do know him a gentleman that well deserves a help, which he shall have. I'll pay the debt and free him.
Your lordship ever binds him.
Commend me to him. I will send his ransom, and being enfranchised, bid him come to me. 'Tis not enough to help the feeble up, but to support him after. Fare you well.
All happiness to your honor.
Exit. Enter an old Athenian.
Lord Timon.
Old Athenian.
Lord Timon. Hear me speak.
Really, good father.
Thou hast a servant named Lucilius.
I have so. What of him?
Most noble Timon, call the men before thee.
Attend he here, or no? Lucilius?
Here, at your lordship's service.
This fellow here, Lord Tymon, this thy creature, by night frequents my house. I am a man that from my first have been inclined to thrift, and my estate deserves and here more raise than one which holds a trencher.
Well, what further?
One only daughter have I, no kin else, on whom I may confer what I have got. The maid is fair, oh, the youngest for a bride, and I have bred her at my dearest cost, and qualities of the best. This man of thine attempts her love. I prithee, noble lord, join with me to forbid him her resort. Myself has spoke in vain.
The man is honest.
Therefore he will be, Tymon. His honesty rewards himself in itself. It must not bear my daughter.
Does she love him?
She's young and apt. Our own precedent passions do instruct us. What levity in youth.
Lucilius, love you the maid?
Aye, my good lord. And she accepts of it.
If in her marriage my consent be missing, I call the gods to witness. I will choose mine here from forth the biggards of the world and dispose her all.
How shall she be endowed if she be mated with an equal husband?
3 talents on the present and future all.
This gentleman of mine hath served me long. To build his fortune, I will strain a little, for 'tis bond in men. Give him thy daughter. What you bestow in him, I'll counterpoise and make him way with her.
Most noble lord, pawn me to this your honor. She is his.
My hand to thee, mine honor on my promise.
Humbly I thank you, lordship. Never may the state or fortune fall into my keeping, which is not owed to you.
Exit with old Athenian. Bow safe, my labor, and long live your lordship.
I thank you. You shall hear from me anon. Go not away. What have you there, my friend?
A piece of painting, which I do beseech your lordship to accept.
Painting is welcome. The painting is almost the natural man, or since dishonor traffics with man's nature, he is but outside. These penciled figures are even such as they give out. I like your work. You shall find I like it. Wait attendance till you hear further from me.
The gods preserve ye.
Well, fare you, gentlemen. Give me your hand. We must needs dine together. Sir, your jewel hath suffered under praise.
What, my lord, dispraise?
A more satiety of your commendations. If I should pay for it as 'tis extolled, it would unclue me quite.
My lord, this rated, as those which sell would give, but you well know. Oh, I'm not an old man anymore. Things of like value differing in the owners are prized by their masters believed, dear lord. You mend the jewel by the wearing it.
Well marked.
Enter Apament. Can I be Apamantus?
Yeah, have you skipped? Do you have state directions here?
Eight man.
I only it
have
says
them after.
Enter.
Oh, okay.
No, I have merchant.
Yeah, merchant speaks.
Yeah, but
no, my good lord, he speaks the common tongue, which all men speak with him.
He just entered. He doesn't.
It's all good. It's all good. Look who comes here. Will you be chid?
We'll bear with your lordship.
He'll spare none.
Good morrow to thee, gentle Apamantus.
Till I be gentle, stay thou for thy good morrow, when thou art Tymon's dog, and these knaves honest.
Why dost thou call them knaves? Thou knowest them not.
Are they not Athenians?
Yes.
Then I repent not.
You know me, Apamantus.
Thou knowest I do. I called thee by thy name.
Thou art proud, Apamantus.
Of nothing so much as that I am not like Timon.
Whither art going?
To knock out an honest Athenian's brains.
That's a deed they'll die for.
Right, if doing nothing by be death but the law.
How likest you this picture, Epimantus?
The best for the innocents.
Wrought he not well that painted it?
He wrought better than made the painter, and yet he's but a filthy piece of work.
You're a dog.
Thy mother's of my generation, was she, if I be a dog?
Wilt dine with me, Epimantus?
No. I eat not lords.
Thou shouldst. Thou'st anger ladies.
Oh, they eat lords, so they become by great bellies.
That's a lascivious apprehension.
So thou apprehendest it. Take it for thy labor.
Dost thou like this jewel, Apometus?
Not so well as plain dealing, which will not cast a man a dot.
What dost thou think 'tis worth?
Not worth my thinking. How now, poet? How now, philosopher? Thou liest. Okay, here we go. Thou liest. Art not one? Yes. Then I lie not. Art not a poet? Yes. Then thou liest. Look in thy last work, where thou hast feigned him a worthy fellow. That not feigned so, he is so. Yes, he is worthy of thee, and to pay thee for thy labor. He that loves to be flattered is worthy of the flatterer. Heavens that I were a lord.
What wouldst do then, Apomantis?
E'en as Apomantis does now, hate a lord with my heart.
What, thyself?
Aye.
Wherefore?
That I had no angry wit to be a lord. Art not thou a merchant?
Aye, Apomantis.
Traffic confound thee, if the gods will not?
If traffic do it, the gods do it.
Traffic's thy god, and thy god confound thee.
Trumpet sound. Enter a messenger. What trumpet's that?
This Alcibiades and some 20 horse.
Alcibiades.
And some 20 horse. All of companionship.
Pray, entertain them. Give them guide to us.
Exit some attendants.
You must needs dine with me. Go not you hence till I have thanked you. When dinner's done, show me this piece. I'm joyful of your sights.
Enter Alcibiades with the rest.
Most welcome, sir.
So there, aches contract and starve your supple joints, that there should be small love amongst these sweet knaves and all this courtesy. The strain of man's bred out into baboon and monkey. Oh, Stephanie?
I saw those two in Africa.
Oh. Right.
Anyways.
Do you want to be Alcibiades?
Okay. Sir, you have saved my longing, and I feed most hungrily on your sight.
Right welcome, sir. Ere we depart, we'll share a bounteous time and different pleasure. Pray you, let us in.
Exent all but Apmantis.
Apmantis.
Enter two lords. Lord Brian and Lord Kathleen. Or Lord Eric? Okay.
Whatever, if you want.
Second lord you can be.
All right.
What time of day is it, Apmantis?
Time to be honest.
That time serves still?
The most accursed thou that still omitst it.
Thou art going to Lord Timon's feast?
Aye, to see meat-filled knaves and wine-heat fools. Oh,
fare thee well, fare thee well.
Thou art a fool to bid me farewell twice.
Why, Apomantis?
Shouldst have kept one to thyself, for I mean to give thee none.
Hang thyself.
No, I will do nothing at thy bidding. Make thy request to thy friend.
Away, unpeaceable dog, or I'll spurn thee hence.
I will fly like a dog, the heels and the ass. Exit. Me.
He's opposite to humanity. Come, shall we in, and taste Lord Timon's bounty. He outgoes the very heart of kindness.
He pours it out. Plutus, the god of gold, is but his steward. No meed but he repays sevenfold above itself. No gift to him but breeds the giver a return exceeding all use of quittance.
The noblest mind he carries that ever governed man.
Long may he live in fortune. Shall we in?
I'll keep you company.
Exunt. So we see that Timon in that act is very generous, but perhaps very naive, as Apomantis displays.
But Apomantis is a jerk face. Everyone knows that.
But he's
he
really
has
funny.
No tact.
I saw a version of this play at Bard on the Beach. It was very good.
Ape Mantis, part ape, part mantis, versus Godzilla.
Did you see any apes or mantises?
No, but I did see baboons and monkeys.
Mm. There's a mantis in Kung Fu Panda.
It's true.
Yeah. Banqueting Rune in Timon's House, Act 1, Scene 2. Oh, we have Flavor Flav, the Flavivious Flavor. He's in this act.
Flavinius.
Yes, Flavius.
I think that was you when we read it, wasn't it, Stephanie?
No, I think I was a different Flavor Flav.
Or were you
Flaminius?
I don't know.
Okay, well.
A different play.
Mobex, you can be Flavius. States, Athenian Lords, Alcibiades, Stephanie, Ventidius, Mom, Epimantis, me, servants, Cupid. Yeah, you can be Cupid.
My time ends in here.
And lots of lords and ladies.
Those are fair game, whoever wants them.
Who did I say Ventidius was? Mom?
Yeah.
Ho boys playing loud music. A great banquet. The other day they were blasting a live version of Bohemian Rhapsody outside at like 3 a.m.
Live?
Like, it wasn't the studio version.
Gotcha.
Blasting it. Anyway, a great banquet served in Flavius and others' attendings. Then enter Lord Timon, Timon, Daniel, Timon. The states, the Athenian lords, Alcibiades and Ventidius, which Timon, yes, redeemed from prison. Then comes, dropping after all, Apamantis, discontentedly like himself.
Most honored Timon, it hath pleased the gods to remember my father's age and call him to long peace. He is gone happy and has left me rich. Then, as in grateful virtue, I am bound to your free heart. I do return those talents, doubled with thanks and service from whose help I derive liberty.
Oh, by no means, honest Ventidius. You mistake my love. I gave it freely ever, and there's none can truly say he gives if he receives. If our betters play at that game, we must not dare to imitate them. Faults that are rich are fair.
A noble spirit.
Nay, my lords. Well, you don't have stage directions there?
They sit?
No, I have. They all stand ceremoniously looking at Timon.
Oh, that's nice. I don't have it.
Ceremony was but devised at first to set a gloss on faint deeds, hollow welcomes, recanting goodness, sorry ere 'tis shown. But when there is true friendship, there needs none. Pray, sit. More welcome are ye to my fortunes than my fortunes to me.
They sit. I guess you're still first lord.
My lord, we always have confessed it.
Ho, ho, confessed it? Hang it, have you not?
Oh, Apamantis, you are welcome.
No, you shall not make me welcome. I come to have thee thrust out of the doors.
Fie, thou art a churl. You've got a humor there does not become a man. 'Tis much to blame. They say, my lords, ira furor brevis est, but yon man is ever angry. Go, let him have a table by himself, for he does neither affect company, nor is he fit for it indeed.
Let me stay at thine apparel, Timon. I come to observe. I give thee warning on it.
I take no heed of thee. Thou art an Athenian, therefore welcome. I myself would have no power, prithee, let my meat make thee silent.
I scorn thy meat. 'Twould choke me, for I should ne'er flatter thee. Oh, you gods! What a number of men eats Timon, and he sees him not. It grieves me to see so many dip their meat in one man's blood, and all the madnesses. He cheers them up, too. I wonder men dare trust themselves with men. Methinks they should invite them without knives. Good for their meat and safer for their lives. There's much example for it. The fellow that sits next to him now parts bread with him, pledges the breath of him in a divided draught, is the readiest man to kill him. 'Tas been proved. If I were a huge man, I should fear to drink at meals, lest they should spy my windpipe's dangerous notes. Great men should drink with harness on their throats.
My lord in heart, and let the health go round.
Let it flow this way, my good lord. Flow this way, a brave fellow. He keeps his tithes well. Those healths will make thee and thy state look ill, Timon. Here is that which is too weak to be a sinner. Honest water, which ne'er man in the mire. This and my food are equals. There's no odds. Feasts are too proud to give thanks to the gods. Apamantis is grace. Immortal gods, I crave no pelf. I pray for no man but myself. Grant I may never prove so fond to trust man on his oath or bond. Or a harlot for her weeping, or a dog that seems a-sleeping, or a keeper with my freedom, or my friends if I should need em. Amen, so fall to it, rich men sin, and I eat root.
Eats and drinks.
Much good dilch, ditch, thy good
dick, I don't know.
Thy good heart, Apamantis.
Captain Alcaibi, let's try this again.
One more time.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I know, that's what I wanted. Captain Alcibiades, your heart's in the field now.
My heart is ever at your service, my lord.
You had rather be at breakfast of enemies than a dinner of friends.
So that we're bleeding anew, my lord. There's no meat like 'em. I could wish my best friend at such a feast.
Would all those flatterers were thine enemies then thou mightest kill 'em and bid me to 'em.
Might we but have the happiness, my lord, that you would once use our hearts, whereby we might express some part of our zeals, we should think ourselves forever perfect.
Oh, no doubt, my good friends, but the gods themselves have provided that I shall have much help from you. How had you been my friends else? Why have you that charitable title from thousands? Did not you chiefly belong to my heart? I have told more of you to myself than you can with modesty speak in your own behalf. And thus far I confirm you. Oh, you gods, think I, what need we have of any friends if we should have never need of them? They were the most needless creatures living, should we never have use for them, and would most resemble sweet instruments hung up in cases that keep their sounds to themselves. Well, I have often wished myself poor, that I might come nearer to you. We are born to do benefits, and what better or proper can our own than the riches of our friends? Oh, what a precious comfort 'tis to have so many, like brothers commanding one another's fortunes. Oh, joy, even made a way ere it can be born. Mine eyes cannot hold out water, methinks. To forget their faults, I drink to you.
Thou weepest to make them drink, Timon. Oh, you're second, lord.
Joy hath like conception in our eyes, and at that instant like a babe sprung up.
Ho, ho! I laugh to think that babe a bastard. Mom.
I promise you, my lord, you moved me much.
Much?
Tuck it within. Tuck it. Like that, I guess? I don't know, noise. What means that trump?
Oh. Why didn't they say trumpet? Enter, Flaminius.
How now?
Please you, my lord, there are certain ladies most desirous of admittance.
Ladies? What are their wills?
There comes with them a forerunner, my lord, which bears that office to signify their pleasures.
I pray, let them be admitted.
Exit, Flaminius. Enter, Cupid.
Is that me?
Yeah, that's...
Hail to thee, worthy... Hail to thee, worthy demon, and to all that of all his bounties taste the five best senses. Acknowledge thee their patron, and come freely to graduate thy plenteous bosom. Thy ear, taste, touch, and smell, please from thy tail rise. They only now come but to feast thine eyes.
Welcome all. Let them have kind admittance. Music, make their welcome.
Exit Cupid.
You see, my lord, how ample you've beloved?
Music. Enter Cupid.
Oh, no, sorry.
Enter Cupid with a mask of ladies as Amazons with lutes in their hands, dancing and playing. Mm. Hoy day, what a sweep of vanity comes this way. They dance? They're mad women, like madness is the glory of this life, and this pomp shows to a little oil and root. We make ourselves fools to disport ourselves, and spend our flattery to drink those men, upon whose age we void it up again with poisonous spite and envy. Who lives that's not depraved or depraves? Who dies that bears not one spurn to their graves of their friend's gift? I should fear those that dance before me now would one day stamp upon me. 'Tas been done. Men shut their doors against the setting sun.
The lords rise from table with much adoring of Timon, and to show their loves, each singles out an Amazon, and all dance, men with women, a lofty strain of two to the hautbois, and cease. You have done our pleasure much grace, fair ladies, set a fair fashion on our entertainment, which was not half so beautiful and kind. You have added worth unto it and luster, and entertained me with mine own devices. I am to thank you for it.
Mom, one lady mask.
My lord, you take us even at the best.
Faith, for the worst is filthy, and would not hold taking, I doubt me.
Ladies, there is an idle banquet attends you. Please you to dispose yourselves.
As thankfully, my lord.
You
Exit Cupid and ladies. Flavius.
My lord.
Little casket, bring me hither.
Yes, my lord. More jewels yet. There is no crossing him in his humor.
Aside.
Else I should tell him. Well, I faith I should. When all spent, he'll be crossed then, and he could. This pity bounty had not eyes behind. That man might never be wretched from his mind.
Exit.
Enter Flaminius.
Where be our men?
Here, my lord, in readiness.
Our horses.
Enter Flavius with the casket. Exit Flaminius.
Oh, my friends, I have one word to say to you. Look, you, my good lord, I must entreat you. Honor me so much as to advance this jewel. Accept it and wear it, kind my lord.
I am so far already in your gifts.
So we are!
Enter Servilius.
My lord, there are certain nobles of the Senate newly alighted and come to visit you.
They are fairly welcome.
Exit Servilius.
I beseech your honor, vouchsafe me a word, if it doesn't concern you near.
Near? Why then, another time I'll hear thee. I prithee, let's be provided to show them entertainment. Aside.
I scarce know how.
Enter Servilius.
May it please your honor, Lord Lucius, out of his free love hath presented to you 4 milk-white horses, trapped in silver.
I shall accept them fairly. Let the presents be worthily entertained.
Exit Servilius. Enter Flaminius.
How now? What news?
Stephanie.
Is it me? Oh.
Yeah.
It just says third servant.
You're flam.
Oh, it just
please you.
Okay.
Please you, my lord, that honorable gentleman, Lord Lucullus, entreats your company tomorrow to hunt with him and ascend your honor 2 brace of greyhounds.
I'll hunt with him, and let them be received, not without fair reward.
Exit Flaminius.
Aside.
What will this come to? He commands us to provide and give great gifts, and all out of an empty coffer, nor will he know his purse, or yield me this, to show him what a beggar his heart is, being of no power to make his wishes good. His promises fly so beyond his state that what he speaks is all in death. He owes for every word. He is so kind that he now pays interest for it. For it is his land. Put to their books. Well, would I were gently put out of office before I were forced out. Happier is he that has no friend to feed than such that do him enemies exceed. I bleed inwardly for my lord.
Exit.
You do yourselves much wrong. You bait too much of your own merits. Here, my lord, a trifle of our love.
With more than common thanks, I will receive it.
Oh, he's the very soul of bounty.
Oh, and now I remember, my lord, you gave good words the other day of a bay courser I rode on. It is yours because you liked it. Oh, I beseech you, pardon me, my lord, in that. You may take my word, my lord. I know no man can justly praise but what he does affect. I weigh my friend's affection with my own. I'll tell you true. I'll call to you.
Oh, none so welcome.
I take all and your several visitations so kind to heart. 'Tis not enough to give. Methinks I could deal kingdoms to my friends and ne'er be weary. Alcibiades, thou art a soldier, therefore seldom rich. It comes in charity to thee. For all thy living is amongst the dead, and all the lands thou hast lie in a pitched field.
Aye, defiled land, my lord.
We are so virtuously bound.
And so am I to you.
So infinitely endeared.
All to you. Lights, more lights.
The best of happiness, honor, and fortunes keep with you, Lord Timon.
Ready for his friends.
Exit, lords and others. Apomantus and Timon remain. What a coil's here, serving of becks and jutting out of bums. I doubt whether their legs be worth the sums that are given for 'em, friendships full of dregs. Methinks false hearts should never have sound legs. Thus honest fools lay out their wealth on curtsies.
Now, Apomantus, if thou wert not sullen, I would be good to thee.
No, I'll nothing. For if it should be bribed too, there would be none left to rail upon thee, and then thou wouldst sin the faster. Thou givest so long. Timon, I fear me, thou wilt give away thyself in paper shortly. What needs these feast pomps and vainglories?
Nay, and you begin to rail on society once, I am sworn to give regard to you. Farewell, and come with better music.
Exit. So thou wilt not hear me now. Thou shalt not then. I'll lock thy heaven from thee. Oh, that men's ears should be to counsel deaf, but not to flattery. So all of you with no friends, be thankful.
And as a Bard Brawl listener, are you more or less likely to be one of those people, Daniel?
I will not answer that. But wealthy in friends, but poor in coffers.
Wealthy in friends comes in the next scene.
That's right. That was actually one of the Bard on the Breach shirts.
It's also one of the most misquoted lines of Shakespeare ever, because everyone says, I am wealthy in all my friends, but Timon the Sucker says it, so kind of not wealthy in his friends.
No. Oh. Be wary of flatterers, right, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
So be paranoid.
Just like in Paris.
Trust no one.
Trust.
Yes. Look over your shoulder.
Hide whoa, 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 hey, hey!
And don't go to the beach in Edmonton.
Yeah, beach is full of flatterers. It's interesting that generosity is the downfall of the character. Well, that's starting to become sort of naive generosity.
Yeah, it's actually kind of King Lear-esque. It's like a not mad form of that giving away, right?
Yeah, we did compare it to King Lear.
Because King Lear sort of literally gives away his kingdom, right? And here, Timon is sort of doing it without realizing it because his servant's telling him, like, hey, dude, you got no money in the bank, but he doesn't want to hear him.
And then
he's being really snarky about it, too.
Oh, no, he's like, hey, dude, I got something to tell you. Like, oh, is it super urgent? Well, okay, it can wait. And you're like, no, you're broke. Like,
but aren't people giving him gifts?
But he just gives it back.
Yeah.
He doesn't accept it.
The horses and the paintings.
Well, we will see. Yeah, and what happened to the jewel that the jeweler gave him? He gave it to one of the lords.
Yeah.
And
it's like he doesn't hold on.
You
to
don't, as someone has written a few poems, they're not worth anything. You can't go to the bank with a poem. Or can you? Something to think about.
A jewel, though.
Yeah, and he gave it away to to the Lord because he likes him so much, and they like him. He's a very pathetic character. Sorry.
I love him.
You do. Yeah, well, that's it. Stay tuned, Bard Brawlers, and come back next time when we go into Act 2 and see what happens to Timon.
That guy.
Where is...
T-Bone of Athens.
Right.
It's like a kind of a remake of Blood In, Blood Out.
Blood In, Blood Out, for those of you who were waiting for that reference, which is probably everybody. We will be with you shortly.
See you next time.
Goodbye. See, they make fun of me. They say see, because I used to always say that.
And now the Bard Brawl presents a reading of Sonnet 38 by William Shakespeare, money, as read by Terry.
How can my muse one subject to invent while thou dost breathe that pourst into my verse? Thine own sweet argument, too excellent for every vulgar paper to rehearse. Oh, give thyself the thanks if what may worthy perusal stand against thy sight. For who's so dumb that cannot write to thee when thou thyself dost give invention light? Be thou the 10th muse 10 times more in worth than those old 9 which rhymers invocate. And he that calls on thee, let him bring forth eternal numbers to outlive long date. In my slight muse, do please these curious days, the pain be mine, but thine shall be the praise. All right?